So I'd like to try to continue on the discussion we were having in the Dharma dialogue this afternoon about when the rubber hits the road. Because this is what it's all about, right? It's not about coming to a beautiful place and listening to the waves. It's about what we do in our life and how this practice informs how we live. Just before I started speaking, I could hear the waves, and I thought, if I could just make the sound of the wave, that would be a full and complete encouragement talk. But instead, I'll use words. So this aim of practice, right? We talk about awakening our heart-mind. And it is not just for us, right, which is important, but in service to benefit others. And Josh talked about this when we first arrived last night, how we are the lucky ones to be here. So many would have liked to have joined us. So many cannot for many reasons. And we sit not just for us, but for them, for our Sangha, for our many Sanghas who are here, who many of us are their representatives here, and for all the beings, including the little fox I saw out in the front yard. And this commitment to benefit others, why? Why do we care about benefiting others? We can comment that for many different reasons, and I do think it's important for us to look at that, each one of us. Why do we feel that our purpose is to benefit others? Because there can be shadows in our mind, and that's what talking with a teacher about is so helpful. To uncover those areas where maybe we're holding something back. But I think with practice, we come to appreciate that this actually is our true nature, our nature to be of benefit to all beings, what we call bodhicitta. And it is, without a doubt, what we feel most alive with, what we feel is most us. I heard about a poster that Shimeo Suzuki had outside his office at San Francisco Zen Center, and it said, when you are truly yourself, Buddhism is Buddhism. So, it is what we feel most is us. This great connection to other beings, no difference in why we live in service to others. And so what gets in the way of that, right? It is our ancient karma. And I've heard Josh say how he comes by his honestly, and I like to think I come by mine honestly too. And that all of us have so many causes and conditions, innumerable causes and conditions, every moment interacting, and habit patterns and blind spots and shadows arise that keep us from manifesting what is truly us. The bodhicitta that is us. And why does that matter? And James mentioned in his remarks about the seeds sprouting in our sabhatans and elsewhere. So the seeds that we plant with our thoughts, our deeds, our actions, our heart, and the opportunity that arises to nurture the seeds of practice and the opportunity, sometimes opportunity, sometimes no choice, to turn away. It seems to me that one of the great gifts of practice is this opportunity, which is not a great big transformative open experience. I feel like it is just this teeny tiniest movement. We're in the midst of something where I am completely hooked emotionally and all of my judgments and opinions and values are screaming forward. And maybe there's just this really teeny tiny opportunity to notice the hook. I don't think my son will listen to this online, but I had a pretty good fight with him at Thanksgiving, you know, standing in the parking lot, cold, right before Thanksgiving dinner. And just totally hooked, you know, with all of the anger and the self-righteousness and both of us angry with each other. And in the midst of that, this is my son who I love. In the midst of it was just this little teeny opening to turn just a little bit. And I managed to stop talking. That was worth the 25 years of practice. So, this little thing that is so consequential that we sit for hours and decades for, it is so very important. And the turning toward that all of the teachers have been talking about, the courage to be with it, and the sense that there is also a balance to be had. Carol, I think, was alluding to this in her talk about where we can stand in this place of not being certain. Know that maybe we're not so clear on what direction to take. What's the skillful action here? And that can be a pretty scary place to be, right? We like to know what we should be doing, and you know, we kind of grab for the precepts and grab for what we think the values are and what the urgency of the situation demands. But to actually be in that place of uncertainty and to bear that requires a lot of courage, the courage of the bodhisattva that we cultivate here in this practice of not rejecting anything, including our ever-pervasive ego self. And this place of uncertainty that provides some balance to the place of being intensely with our being hooked is not going to our comfort zones. Right? One of my students in Maine, who's fairly new to practice, mentioned in a Dharma dialogue that he learned that his comfort zone is not all that comfortable. I just love that. So, you know, this coming to realize that this stepping out into the unknown, not knowing what to do, this little tiny movement into uncertainty, and seeing all the ways in which we judge and hold our opinions about ourselves, mostly harsh opinions, and you know, if we can't see our own Buddha nature, how can we possibly hope to see Buddha nature in any other being? So we need to cultivate this capacity to really know for ourselves the deep goodness, the deep bodhicitta that is us. And when we find ourselves caught in the labeling and the opinions and the judgments, to do our best to hold them lightly. I recently read a new book by Pema Chodron called Welcoming the Unwelcome, which I liked very much. And there's a funny story in it about her teacher, Trungpa, and another Tibetan teacher. And they were sitting out in the yard, just sitting, you know, enjoying each other's company, not really talking. And the older teacher said to Trungpa, "They call that a tree." And then they both just broke into uproarious laughter. So, you know, of course, the label tree doesn't express the vivid beauty, interconnected aliveness of the tree or the fox or my intense argument with my son. These labels that we put on things and on ourselves don't convey the vivid aliveness of our life. And so we're invited and have a great opportunity here at Sesshin to notice the labeling, notice the judgments and the opinions, and be with that and know that what we're doing here is so very important, this practice that all of you are so sincerely engaging in, really touches my heart deeply. I don't think we will ever have peace or save the planet, no less, without it. So with gratitude to all of us, to carry on with great courage and sincerity.